Good evening, Hare Krishna. Hare Swagat Mataji. Nice to see you. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Does anyone here know what the title of this talk is supposed to be? Yes. What? Conflict resolution? Oh. I asked the wrong question. You got the right answer. That was last week. What is happiness? Right. I have no idea why I chose that topic, but I was asked to pick a topic last week, and I said, what is happiness? So let me ask you, because I've worked enough this week. So what is your definition of happiness? And don't be shy. You know, there's no, well, there's right and wrong, but, you know, we won't... You know, we want to hear what is your definition of happiness. Well, first of all, raise your hand if you want to be happy. Okay, so if you want to be happy, it's probably pretty intelligent to have some definition of what it is. Right? Like if you want to be rich, what do you need a lot of? Okay. But if you want to be happy, what do you need a lot of? Not happiness. What is that called? That's called circular reasoning, like a cat chasing his tail or something like that. Or a dog, but I don't, yeah, dog, whatever. There's a cat here that I'm developed a friendship with at the temple. So what is a definition of happiness? No sadness. Okay, so there's a definition in the negative, which is fine, right? So often, a matter of fact, in the Isha Upanishad, it says that it's intelligent to define things also by its opposites. Okay, so no sadness. I won't ask you what sadness is, but some more definitions. But raise your hand. No involuntary work. There's a man who loves his job. Okay, no involuntary work, not having to do something. Okay. Yes, sir. Getting all your desires fulfilled. Wow. Someone said, wow, right? Cause we heard today about that gel, the pani from the... okay. That would be dangerous for me. If I got all my desires fulfilled, watch out, world. No. Okay, but no, that's a very good definition. Getting all your desires fulfilled. What else? Ah, there's a philosopher. Happiness is relative. What makes me happy might not make you happy. But to make others happy. Ah, that's interesting. Anything that makes your mind derive pleasure. And you said making other people happy. That's very interesting because there's a deaf, there in, is it Sanskrit or is it Bengali? I think it's Sanskrit. It says para dukkha dukkhi, that one, it's kind of like the definition in the opposite, that one is unhappy when they see other people unhappy. So the flip side of that would be to be happy when other people are happy. Yeah, very good. Okay, and then to make your mind peaceful, satisfied, whatever makes your mind, okay. What else? Anyone else? Yes, I see a hand over there. Yes, sir. Contentment. Excellent. That's also mentioned in the Shastra, that it's called tushti in Sanskrit, or satisfaction. And it's not easy to get. Probably none of you are old enough to remember there was a gentleman named Mick Jagger who kept on saying he couldn't get no satisfaction. But, right? Yes. You remember that song, huh? It was a big hit in New Delhi in 1970. I'm joking. Yes?
Same thing as that desire to be satisfying all the desires, but eternally.
Oh, okay. What do you think about that? He said the same thing as you, but he said eternally. That's interesting. That's a long time. Okay, these are excellent. So let's look at it, because in my field of work, he was saying that I deal with conflicts, and one of the first major cause of conflict is just defining terms. It's very important that any group of people, when they're trying to make a decision, they use a word and they make sure that they're all thinking the same, that the word means the same thing, because oftentimes it doesn't. And especially a word like happiness, as you were saying, it can mean different things to different people. So we've heard all of your opinions. Now maybe we should hear Krishna's. Okay. No? Why not? After all, he's only the Supreme Lord, and yes, yeah. Yeah. And the other thing is, he's a source of all happiness. So, let's talk. Okay, one other thing, though, before we turn to Krishna. What is the source of happiness? Now, you said it from the mind, right? We get happiness from the mind. If the mind is peaceful, if it's content, your word was content, right? Then we get happy. What else might bring us happiness? Yes, heart, the thing that go boom, 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 boom. You mean like where are the core of our desires? Okay, because you're really into desires, right? All your desires get fulfilled. Your soul, yeah, the soul, the heart. Soul. Sometimes even in Krishna consciousness, we define soul and heart, you know, or we say have a heart. Right, that doesn't mean literally, you know, the thing that pumps. Right, other sources of happiness? Knowledge, yes, knowledge. Prasadam. Is it ready? Because you know, I could stop now and make everyone really happy. And that would be a perfect purport to this class. Right? That would... No, that's because it's your first time. But everyone else has been there, done that. Oh, the guy's talking again. Chanting makes you happy. Really? Okay. You attended the class yesterday, didn't you? Very good. Yes, Prabhu. Good relationships. Uh-huh. That's how many have found happiness in good relationships? How many of you have found distress in relationships? There's more hands. No, but it's an interesting thing, because some of the things that we've just discussed can give us great happiness or great distress, like relationships. Prasadam, I think only happiness. Unless I was a cook, then you wouldn't want to stick around. Okay, so these are both important things. What is the term? What does the term mean? And where do you get that desirable thing from? Okay, two important concepts. Now, just touching upon your point for a second, have you ever felt happy? Now be honest. Okay. Actually, I won't ask you to raise your hand, because you know you might get embarrassed. Okay. But think about it and be honest with yourself. Have you ever been happy to see someone else distressed? No? Yes, there's an honest man. Okay. The only one in the whole room. Yeah. No, come on. I know myself. You know, okay, we don't want to see someone dead or, you know, mortally injured. But no, there's a little something if the teacher, you know, picks on that student instead of you. You know, you're kind of like, oh. Jai ho, right? Right? You know, that's, and what that is envy. Because there's a concept that we have in when we're in material consciousness, not spiritual consciousness, that in order for us to go up, the other party has to go down. Right? And let's face it, that's, you know, that's part of material consciousness. So Krishna talks in the Bhagavad Gita about two kinds of happiness. Well, he even, and then there's subdivisions. We'll get into those in a minute. But he talks about spiritual happiness and, very good, material happiness, right. And material happiness, he divides into three parts. He says that what is poison in the beginning, but is nectar in the end, is happiness in the mode of goodness, sattva guna, okay? And then the next one is nectar in the beginning, and then poisonous in the end, that's in the mode of passion. And then ignorance is just, you know, poison, you know, just, what's that? Poison all the time. So that's a very interesting definition, because it's not the general definition that people have in this world. Again, now we're only talking about material happiness now. We'll talk about transcendence in a few minutes, okay? But generally, most people's definitions are the second one, isn't it? I mean, they don't think necessarily about the poison, but they just think nectar. they just think, you know, that connecting the senses, if you want to put it into Bhagavad Gita terms, with the sense objects, making that connection, that will bring me happiness. Okay? So, you know, just kind of like eat, drink, be merry, that kind of consciousness, that if I just try to satisfy my senses, then I'll be happy. But Bhagavad Gita says something, you know, that isn't very accepted today, that if I control myself, then I'll be happy. Right? It's a little difficult in the beginning, but there's such a reward in the end. And it's actually not true. You know, people do talk about this. I think last week, I can't remember where I quoted who, because, you know, I travel a lot. But was it last Sunday that I talked about John Wooden? Yes? Okay. Yeah, do you remember who he was? And what did he say? Okay. Anyway, at least you know who he is and what is. Yes, he was the winningest basketball coach in college history. And he said that if you discipline yourself, no one else has to discipline you. And he says that by saying no to some of your urges, you actually become much more self-confident and become much more successful in this world. So it's an interesting definition, that happiness, when it's delayed happiness, when you press the pause button, right, and you delay your happiness, that kind of happiness, which is, you know, down the road, becomes much more. And we also know that in order to be successful practically in anything in this world, right, one does often have to say no to certain things in order to, but the trick is to have a very strong yes, right? So we're going to, that also ties in with Krishna consciousness, right? That if we really, really want Krishna, if we really want to become a devotee of Krishna, then it's natural that we'll say no to those things that don't help us become devotees of Krishna. But I'll get to that in a few more minutes. But for now, let's also look at happiness, because who said, what was the negative definition? Was that yours? No sadness, no distress, right? So they are flip sides of the same coin. And you see in this world that we often experience some happiness and then some distress and then some happiness and then some distress, and we kind of go on a roller coaster. And a lot of this has to do, we talked about this on the seminar about dealing with difficulties in life, because we we base our happiness on external things. What do we base our happiness on? Yeah, okay. Material or external things. In other words, we think that our happiness is kind of out there, right? Or at least by getting things out there, then we'll be happy, Right? I think if we're honest, well, you know, I think about that myself. You know, I think one thing that I really wanted to get these days was an e-reader. You know, these e-readers like Kindle and things like that, because I travel a lot, so I don't carry books with me because especially these days with the baggage, restrictions and how much you have to pay for bags and things. I don't bring a library with me, so I usually have it on my computer. But reading books on the computer, you have to turn it on, and I have Wint Vista, and it takes 10 years to boot up. The ones who are laughing are all IT professionals, by the way. it's easy to know who's there. Right. iPad, yeah, get an iPad. Okay, so Prabhu's going to buy me an iPad. Thank you very much. I'm joking. Anyway, so I really wanted to get an e-reader because you just press the button, and once you can have the Bhagavad Gita on there and the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Srimad Bhagavatam, and the Vedic literature, and you just press the button, and there it is. And it's even easier on your eyes. And, I got an inexpensive eye reader. And I've been so busy this week, I haven't even practically turned it on. But, I thought for all the time that I was researching on the internet, which one is a good one to get, And now I got it, and it's like, okay, well, maybe I'll turn it on one day. In other words, often, the hankering and the wanting something is actually in other words, the thought that we're going to get happiness is usually greater than the actual happiness that we derive from that object. So Krishna's definition of happiness is very different. It's happiness from within, and that you can, carry with you wherever you go. They say that a intelligent person, he carries his own weather with him. Right? So it's not like, you're happy when it's sun, like a, what a day today is, right? Isn't it nice? Actually, you're all amazing people that you've come to the temple on such a wonderful day. You could be out, whatever, on the lake or doing this or that, and you've come to see Radha Kalachanji. And that's really admirable of you because it's such a wonderful day. So a day like this, Subtik, right? It's very nice. And if we're here in August and it's 100 degrees and 98% humidity, it's right. So we're happy when it's weather like this. We're unhappy when it's weather like that. So many things are like weather, right? You get up in the morning, you don't really know, okay, is my wife in a good mood today? You're laughing? It happened? is my husband in a bad mood? Is the kid, the kid's going to go off to school on time? There's so many things that out there that we when our definition of happiness is external to our soul, to who we really are, then, we're kind of at the mercy of our karma, at the mercy of other people, and we're not so much in control of our happiness. So if it's something that we really want, almost everyone raised their hand, we said, who wants to be happy? Everyone raised their hand. And then if it's out of our control, wow, that is a problem. If you think about it, if it's like that's the thing you want more than anything in your life is happiness, and you can't, God, there's so many different things. What if my e-reader breaks today? How I'm going to be so upset or whatever. So Krishna's definition is really great, actually, because he says, regardless of what's happening externally, you can be happy. Okay, and so he has a different definition, right? That happiness comes from within, and I think we might have talked about this last week, but it's a great mathematical equation. The more you try to be happy, the less you're happy. And the more you try to make other people happy, the more happy you are. And when you turn that into spirituality, the more that you try to please Krishna, he's a person. And so he reciprocates with that. Srila Prabhupada once said that if you take one step towards Krishna, he takes 1,000 steps towards you. And he's the source of all happiness, right? So it's a good idea. Why not try it? We try to just worry less about ourselves and more about giving pleasure to Krishna and being kind to other people. The mathematics works. The mathematics works. That the less you concern yourself with your own happiness, the more you concern yourself with Krishna's happiness and taking care of other people and being a giving kind of person, the actual happiness you achieve. And you may, you know, you may live in a palace or in a very small apartment. Or when we first moved to Vrindavan, we had a room. I can't compare it to anything here, but anyway, very small. The living room was there, and then 2 feet away was the bedroom, and 3 feet away was the kitchen because the whole thing was small. But because we were in Vrindavan, of course, we were quite happy. So this is something to really think about deeply, not just, oh, it was a nice little katha in the temple and then go on with our life, but seriously, because we do want to be happy, we should think very seriously about what will make us happy. And I asked someone before the class what would make them happy. And they gave me a whole laundry list. But it was all about I can't remember everything, but the Mavericks winning and LeBron James having a real terrible time. Anyway, it was all about basketball. But, of course, that won't necessarily make one happy. I can remember myself. It was 1970. I was 12 years old, and a young 12-year-old's dream came true, right? That I grew up in New York, and that year, for those of us who are sports fans, the basketball team, the football team, and the baseball team all won the championship. Yeah, I was like, wow. Those of you who've been in Dallas long enough know that that's not going to happen very often. Right? Oh, did you hear that? I just made an enemy. Oh, well. And so I was, elated. Yeah, the Knicks won and the Jets and the Mets. And then the next year, they the basketball team did okay, but the other teams just fell apart completely. And I was, So that's kind of, the nature. And matter of fact, Krishna says that, nasato vidite bhavo, na bhavo vidite sataha. He says that a definition of happiness, because we heard you said all your desires fulfilled and someone said all your desires fulfilled eternally. So that's a definition that Krishna has of happiness. Happiness is that which actually is eternal. And that's reality. And illusion is that which is hankering after that which is temporary. Now someone could say, and I'm sure some of you may be thinking this, so I'll read your mind and I'll say it. Well, Krishna consciousness also seems temporary. I mean, we just had a wonderful kirtan, and there's going to be a nice bhajan, but the bhajan doesn't go. Are you going to play eternally tonight? Hope so. Oh, okay. Yeah, there you go. Wise guy. No, but it'll have a beginning and it'll have an end. So even if it's so pleasurable, isn't your Krishna conscious things also temporary? Well, actually, no. Because it's connected with Krishna. And it's the activity of bhakti, or of devotional service, which is actually our eternal nature. So when we are performing that sanatan dharma, that dharma which is actually intrinsically part of our who we really are, that we are servants of God, we are servants of Krishna, when we do that, that benefit that we derive and is eternal. And when we keep on doing it and accumulate that consciousness of bhakti, then we actually eternally live with Krishna. And then no more disappointments like the Dallas sports teams have given us the past few years. No more of this roller coaster of happiness and distress that we live in this world. So, what questions or comments do you have? Yes, sir.
Yeah, If we give our heart to Krishna and Krishna resides there, lives there, we'll be all the time happy. We don't have to worry about outside.
Very good. That's right. Thank you. Yes, sir. Is there distress and happiness at one time? That's a good question. I think so, because there could be parts of your life that are really good and other parts of your life that you're having some difficulty, right? Like somebody says, this is my new statement. You ever have people go up to you and say, is everything okay? Is everything fine? And what do you usually say? Yeah, Subtik, yes. Koi Bhagne. I know 10 words in Hindi. Or I remember when I was in high school, we were trying to make fun of that superficiality of, so someone would say, how are you? And we go, dying of leukemia. And 90% of the time, oh, that's nice. Very good. Glad to hear that. Right? Because, you know, it's one of those things. So nowadays when people ask me, is everything all right? And I say, come on. Everything? No, a few things are all right. Yeah, you know, that's pretty good for this world. You know, it's not like nobody in baseball bats 1,000. You know, right? You know, a 300, right? A 330. You know, Ted Williams got a 400. He was the last one. That's pretty good, and that's less than half. So in this world, the way the happiness distress ratio, you know, if you're batting 300, you're doing well, right? I don't know. At least in my life. You're saying yes. So I think it's true. I think you can both be, you can, at least materially speaking, you can have some happiness and some distress. For a devotee, Prabhupada gave a very interesting business example. He said that a shrewd businessman or woman makes money when the market's up and also when the market's down. Right? For those of us who are in business, are Atulji, and he's nodding, he said yes. And it's true that if you're a wise person, you can. So a devotee will take, you know, what happens to him or her in this world, whether it's happiness or distress, and will use that to turn to Krishna. It's like, I don't know if anyone has ever studied Aikido. Anyone ever study Aikido? Yeah, heard about it. Yes. It begins with A, right? It's a word. Yeah, it's a martial art that takes, when a person attacks you, it takes their energy that they're attacking you with, and you use it to combat them. So you kind of use their energy. So a devotee does that with the material energy. The material energy comes at them with some happiness, and they say, "Oh, thank you, Krishna. You're so kind. You've made things a little easier for me, and I'm going to try to use this in your service." And then the material world throws at him some distress, and he goes, "Oh, Krishna, it should have been a lot worse. You're very kind. You've minimized it, and thank you for minimizing my karma. And with my heart and my soul, I take shelter of you." There's a verse in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam that Prabhupada says should be the guide for all devotees, and that is that when you're distressed, when you have some unhappiness, you also thank Krishna. And you say, "Oh, it should have been a lot worse, but Krishna is very kind. He's minimized it, and I should use this as an impetus to take more shelter of him." Does that answer your question? Very good question. Thank you. Yes, sir.
I'm going to ask you about the one pessimist thinker. He's a German thinker. He says, there is nothing good or bad in the world. Thinking makes it so. Do you believe that?
There's nothing good or bad in the world. Thinking makes it so. Yes, I think so. Because of basically what I just said, that it's not, this may sound like a repeated mantra because I think I said it last Sunday, but it's not so much what happens to us. It's how we react to what happens to us. So that's the same thing as carrying your own weather with you, right? Even a great calamity, we can react we had a gentleman yesterday. Is Navadvip Chandra, is he here? There was a gentleman here yesterday who came from far away. He drove over 7 hours to come here And he's just becoming interested in Krishna consciousness. And he has three children, an 8-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a baby who's 10 months old. And 2 weeks prior, his wife passed away. Yes. And, you know, he's born in America. He's not of Indian descent, but he's come in contact with Krishna consciousness through a university chaplain who is a devotee. And so in this way. And so the devotee suggested he come here and perform a Shraddha ceremony for his wife and get some blessings from Radha Kalachandri. So I was speaking to him yesterday afternoon, and I was quite, you know, so I asked him, how are you dealing? You know, we had a good, quite deep, it wasn't just a superficial discussion, it was quite a deep exchange. And he said, sometimes I even feel guilty because I know I should feel so terrible, but I do see the Lord's hand in this. And I do know what my wife would want me to do in this situation. She wouldn't want me to just keep on lamenting, and she would want me to, you know, look at things positively and make sure that the children are taken care of, and et cetera, et cetera. So here's a person who really carried his weather with him, right? Of course, naturally, he misses his wife. Like, they had a very loving relationship and things like that. But even the most traumatic thing such as that, you know, terrible thing, we have choices in how we react to those things. And so I do think, you know, I don't know if you could say it's our mind, but it's, you know, it is up to us how we react to the events that happen to us in our life. So it's nice to have the association of devotees, like all of us here. It's nice to be able to consult with other people who have wisdom when the inevitable does happen, the difficulties of life happen. And they do. You know, it happens. Is that okay? Thank you. Nice question. Yes, sir. Yes. Can you speak a little loudly so we can all hear you, your wise statement?
I was thinking a lot about this particular topic. Happiness. We had some discussion about this also. And we came to some conclusion during that discussion. And I would appreciate that.
Thank you.
We all really try for happiness. Everybody.
Right.
We try really hard. We try to earn money. We try to please somebody. We want to buy food. Everything for happiness. Ultimately for happiness.
Mm-hmm.
And what we do is we give very less importance to that happiness.
Achha.
We give it easily to even if somebody asks you from back. You just here goes your happiness. Give you all the happiness. If some of your friend is little bit
you give it away. Achha. That's very interesting. Very good. Very good point. So we have to be careful about how we react. And we have to be wise. I gave this example sometime, but you know, we try to climb the ladder of happiness, only to find when we get to the top that it was leaning against the wrong wall, right? And actually happiness was over there instead. So that is something to, you know, it takes some contemplation, you know, to really sit down and think, you know, what will make me happy in this world, right? Yes, behind you. Thank you for sharing that. Yes, sir.
What really makes me happy is like not trying.
Excellent point. It's that same kind of inverse proportion, right? The more you try for it, sometimes the less you get. The less you try for it, and you just try to make other people happy, and as we're trying to, you know, in a spiritual sense, make Krishna happy. Now let's talk about making Krishna happy for a minute. Because, you know, for some of us, you might be thinking, oh God, he's talking, you know, what does that mean, making Krishna happy? And he seems like such a far off. But every one of us has a relationship with God. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridesher arjuna tishtati. Krishna says in the Gita that he's in everyone's heart. And our most intimate, just think, we all have intimate relationships, right? With a husband, with a wife, a boyfriend or girlfriend, friends, parents, with our mother, with our father. But even more intimate than that, because it's eternal, is our relationship with God, with Krishna. So it actually takes some thought. I have a relationship with Krishna. He's a real person. And if I actually try to make him happy, even this much, there'll be some reciprocation. I'll feel some satisfaction in my heart. Sometimes when I give a seminar, I hope we still have a few more minutes, I ask people, think of the happiest time in your life. Think of when you were just completely happy. And for me, two things come to my mind immediately. You're, and I can say them over the microphone. One of them was around Christmas time, especially when I was living in America back in the 80s, we would distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. We'd have a marathon. We'd go out for that. In those days, it was 6 weeks. And that was our one effort. That's all we did, 7 days a week. We went out and met people we never knew before and tried to give them one of Srila Prabhupada's books, or two of them. And we would sometimes do it for 12 hours a day, if I was younger then, 14 hours a day. And then I remember on Christmas Eve, we stayed out till 4 in the morning. We were distributing books in front of a 7-Eleven, you know, that's open all night. And you know, we were at least trying to be very devotional, doing this for Srila Prabhupada's pleasure, doing this to give souls a chance to hear about Krishna. And so when we came back to the temple, we came back just in time for Mangala Aarti, which in most temples in ISKCON is at 4:30 in the morning, right? So we came back, and I remember walking into the temple and paying my obeisances, my respects to the Murti, the statue of Srila Prabhupada, and just becoming overwhelmed with a feeling of happiness. And, so I didn't think, it's not like it's fun going out meeting total strangers and trying to give them a book, and when they tell you, go get a job, or something like that, or, get lost, or, I know my way around, how can I get lost, things like that. But it was that, and it wasn't me, but it was that self-sacrifice that, and then the other time I can remember was doing a mediation, and there were two parties that were very acrimonious relationship, really, they want to just strangle each other. So one of the ground rules we made at the beginning, no strangling. So anyway, again, by the Lord's grace, we were able to facilitate a discussion. And after about 2 hours, they really started seeing eye to eye. They really started empathizing with the other party and understanding each other. And at the end, they actually got up and they embraced each other. And yeah, it was nice. And again, it was that was also an overwhelming feeling of happiness. So it wasn't, getting the newest, this or getting, but it was in those opportunities to do some service that I felt the greatest happiness. And I think if we are honest with ourselves and we think about the times that we're happiness, often it's going to be in those kind of altruistic, doing good to others circumstances. Any other? Yes, Prabhu?
What is our relationship between Krishna and the holy name and this happiness that you're talking?
Well, chanting is, what do we say? Amala Harinam Amiya Vilasa. That my greatest pleasure is in chanting Krishna's name. The devotee says that. What is that? Swaga, how do you... Amala Harinam, the whole pure holy name, Amiya Vilas. It's one way to translate is like my favorite activity, something like that. It's your favorite activity, I know that. Mother Swarga, by the way, as Nityananda, who was in, she's a truly great soul. I'm so happy to have her here. She spent many years in Vrindavan, and we worked together for some time, and she kept me on the straight and narrow. Yes, but if when we chant with our, you know, with our heart and with our mind, and we don't think about the fast and the future and when's prashadam, which I know you're thinking, so I'm going to stop right now. We actually just get into it, get into chanting, you know, just get absorbed in it and really try to be a soul calling out for, or as Srila Prabhupada said, a child calling out for its mother. And that mood, there is a great deal of satisfaction and happiness in that, actually the greatest happiness. So, thank you very much. It's been a real pleasure being here in Dallas for the last 2 weeks. And by Krishna's mercy, hopefully we will be returning again. And thank you. Thank you for listening. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.